There we go. All right, the rest of us, we turn our Bibles to John chapter number 11. If you don't have a Bible with you, there is one, should be one, in the seat back in front of you between those two psalm books. If we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We're going to look through and read this account here of Christ's resurrection. We're going to be following along with this and drawing from it a message that I believe that God has laid on my heart, and I believe he has for us this morning. For those of us that are saved, know Christ as our Savior, it is a time to shout and to rejoice. For those that might be here this morning, say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. He is the Savior, he is the Christ, but I have not accepted him yet. Well, this is the day to do so. John chapter number 11, verse number 25 right here. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This is Jesus speaking, not at his resurrection, but this was when he resurrected and raised from the dead his friend Lazarus. He's speaking to Lazarus's sisters here, speaking of this power of resurrection, this power of resurrection that we come together to celebrate this morning. Before we do, we try to make it a practice to go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing and his guidance as we look to his word this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you that we can gather together freely in this country to celebrate your great power. That the fact that you died, you were buried, and you rose powerfully, defeating death and hell, just to offer us salvation. Not because you needed this, but because we did. We ask that we would see appropriately the power in your resurrection this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I tell you that we could go on and on. Oftentimes when we come around holidays, we could talk about what it's not about. What it's not about. We say, hey, it's not about the Easter Bunny. I tell you, I like doing fun things for the young people, like the candy scramble. Why? Because I think kids, you ought to grow up loving to be at church. But it's not about the candy. It's about the Easter story. But I think even about the Easter story, there's a great misconception. The Easter story is not a soft and quiet story. It's not a gentle story. It's not symbolic. It's not poetic tradition. The Easter story is a story of power, a story of conquering victory. Pardon me. My voice doesn't have power this morning. It's a story of power. Power that shook the earth. Power that tore open a sealed tomb. Power that broke the grip of death itself. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest display of power the world has ever seen. We live in a nuclear age where there's nuclear power that can power our lights. There's nuclear power that can be very destructive in a nuclear weapon. And yes, that's powerful. Yes, there are some things that are awesome. I love in the summertime when we have them nearby to go and see air shows. I grew up loving the power of a jet engine. Where they fly down in these air shows, they seem like they're right there, and they shake the ground you're standing in, your whole body's shaking, seeing the power of that jet engine. But I tell you, there is no power that has ever been witnessed in all of history that even compares to the display of power that we celebrate this morning, the power of Christ's resurrection. And that same power, that same awesome power is the power of Christ that saves souls. Oftentimes folks will doubt, can God really save my soul? This is a power that saves souls. First of all, I want to take some time to look at this. Look at this power. I want to look at, first off, that it is the power that broke the grave. We're looking at the power that broke the grave. Let's go back this morning, if you would. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 2 to 4 there. It says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, his countenance was like lightning. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Picture this scene. It's early morning. It's quiet. Living in a household of two young children, 2-year-old and 9-month-old. Those quiet times are precious. Few and far between. Picture a quiet early morning. The sky just beginning to lighten up. The sun starting to rise on the horizon. Hey, this tomb has been sealed. These soldiers have been posted guard. They put the seal on the tomb. Hey, they might have gotten to the point, posted guard, that they were kind of relaxing. Hey, it's been 3 days. It's been 3 nights. Nothing has happened. Nobody's come to rob the tomb. It's pretty quiet. Man, this is a pretty cushy post. I'm glad I got stuck here instead of the front lines of battle. This stone is massive. This stone isn't going anywhere. These Roman soldiers are standing guard, trained, hardened men. And inside, Jesus' body lies still and dead. But then suddenly, the ground begins to tremble. The earth shakes violently as it had 2-3 days prior when he died on the cross, and rocks broke because of the earthquake that happened. Heaven opens, the angel descends like lightning, blazing and radiant, unstoppable. The soldiers here, they're trained for war. They're tough and valiant and courageous soldiers, yet they collapse in terror as dead men. And then the stone, that unmovable stone, was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to show the world he was gone. He was no longer in the tomb. What happened inside that tomb, no man saw, but we know this, that the same Jesus who cried, "It is finished," when he gave up the ghost and died on the cross for our sins 3 days prior, he now rose in absolute power, conquering death, conquering the grave, conquering sin, conquering hell. His cold body began to stir. His heart began to beat. Breath returned. His life surged through him again. His physical body, not just figuratively, his physical body, he rose and resurrected himself from the grave. Why do we know it's his physical body? Because later on, what we see that he comes to Thomas, he says, hey, you don't believe? Touch my hands where the nails pierced. Do you see the side where they stuck that spear? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, stood up alive. Alive forevermore, rolled that stone away and stepped out of the grave. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 talks about this. Jesus here says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." There's a lot of churches you can go to where they have crucifixes hanging. You'll see the cross on purpose behind me is empty. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is no longer hanging on a cross. Unlike the leaders of modern religions today, he is not in a tomb rotting away. His bones can't be found in that garden tomb. Why? Because he miraculously, with the power only found in God himself, rose up from that grave. And he proved his power over sin, death, hell, and the grave. We see the power here. We see it specifically, the power that broke the grave. Continuing to look at this power, I want to look at how this is the power that conquers sin. Why does a resurrection matter? Why do we rejoice like we do? Up from the grave he rose! Why does that matter? Well, because without it, there is no salvation. Without it, there is no salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? For our justification." The cross paid for our sin. Resurrection proves the payment was accepted. reality of our sin is that we're all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Most in this room could probably quote that verse. For all have sinned. I've met a lot of people, but I've never met somebody that wasn't part of all. I've not met anybody that hadn't sinned in their life. We've all sinned. None of us here are perfect people. None of us here are sinless people. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was sinless. He's the Son of God. But we, all of us, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every lie we've told, every lustful thought, every wicked word or action, every hidden sin, God sees it all. You might be able to put on a good show for family and friends. You might be able to put on a good show for a preacher. We might dress up in our Easter Sunday best, come into church, and we look like we're pretty good. But guess what? The reality is we're all sinners. Every single last one of us. I tell you, folks, sin is what brings death. Sin brings death. Bible says, Romans 6, 23, just three chapters later, for the wages, the payment, the paycheck, what we deserve because of our sin is death. The Bible goes on and talks about how death and hell is the second death that is deserved because of our sin. God doesn't desire any of us to go there. That's why he sent down his son at Christmas time. We celebrate how he was born in a manger, a lowly manger, not in a palace, in a horse trough. And he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. He walked this earth and he lived a perfect life, never once sinned, never once did wrong. He worked, performed miracles, he taught, he preached. And then as we celebrated this last year, he comes in a week ago on Sunday through his triumphal entry into a city of Jerusalem where people cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. Which means, save us now, O Son of David, save us now. Casting down palm branches, casting down their clothes, yet only a couple days later that they're stirred up to cry, crucify him. So they did. They took him. God the Son, perfect sinless lamb. They beat, they bruised, they broke his body. They nailed him to the cross and he died. He died for us. He died because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because he loves you. He doesn't love you because you deserve it. He doesn't love me because I'm a great person. While I was yet a sinner, that's when Christ loved me enough to die for me. And he was buried. Joseph of Arimathea begged his body and they buried him in his tomb. I wonder if Joseph there, he's a wealthy man, if Joseph knew Jesus could borrow his tomb because he wouldn't be there long. I buried him in his tomb. They had to do it quickly because there was a special Sabbath where they had to have him on the cross before Thursday night ended. Then there was 3 days and three nights. Thursday night comes. They knew he had taught that would die and 3 days later he'd rise. So they thought his disciples would come steal his body. So they posted these Roman guards. They sealed up that stone, that tomb. They posted a seal and threatened of judgment if anybody were to steal his body. And that seal held Thursday night. The seal held Friday. Seal held Friday night. Seal held Saturday. And for the third night, the seal held Saturday night. But on that third day, on that Sunday morning, Christ rose in the power of his resurrection. Rose up out of that grave. Why? Because sin did its worst. Hell unleashed everything it had. Death took its shot. But Jesus conquered all of that for you and for me. If Jesus can conquer death, I'll tell you, he conquered it for you. Yes, our wages for our sin is death. But what he says is he doesn't want us to get the wages we deserve. Yes, because of our sin, we deserve hell. Bible says, though, that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's conquered sin. He's not wanting to manage your sin and cover it temporarily. Christ conquered it so that our sins can be completely washed away for forever and ever. That we can be saved wholly and completely only through the power of Christ. It's a power that conquered the grave, a power that defeated sin, but it's also more than just defeating sin. This is a power that gives life. John chapter 11, verse 25 says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead." Hey, the Bible says, in our trespasses and sin. Hey, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. Spiritually, even though we're sitting here alive and breathing, if we're not saved today, spiritually, we're dead in our sin. But Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again to conquer that sin, but also to give you life. To give you life. Not just physical resurrection, this was a spiritual resurrection. You can still be breathing, you can still walk around and be dead in sin, dead in trespasses, dead with no peace, dead with no salvation, dead with no hope, dead with no purpose. There are people sitting in churches all around the world today on a Sunday morning that are dead spiritually. Fact is, I think most people filling pews in churches are dead spiritually. They don't know this power for themselves. Alive physically, but dead spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 though says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin." It says, yes, in our sin we're dead spiritually. In our sin we're on our way to hell spiritually. Hey, but Christ arose to make you alive again spiritually, to give you new life, not just to forgive your sins, not just to wash your heart clean, white as snow from your sins, but to give you eternal life. That same resurrection power, when it enters your life, a dead soul is made alive, a guilty sinner is forgiven, a bound life is set free. It's like a man who's hooked up to a defibrillator, has flatlined, has no pulse, no life, no way of getting himself back to life, and then shock, he comes back. Life returns. Friends, salvation, coming to Christ for salvation, is not about self-improvement. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about resurrection. It's about the power of Christ's resurrection to resurrect our lives, to conquer sin, to offer new life in Christ. And then also, then in that, it provides it, but it also demands a decision. Through Christ's gift on the cross, through his conquering and through his resurrection power, he offers everybody in this room and around the world through all of time the opportunity to receive his salvation. The Bible says, by no other name under heaven can we be saved. Well, there's a lot of people who can pray in the names of even good people. Pray to Mary, pray to people who've lived probably better lives than some of us. But they're people. They're sinners. Mary was a sinner. Buddha was a sinner in need of a Savior. Muhammad was definitely a sinner in need of a Savior. Salvation doesn't come from a preacher or a teacher or a church. It comes through Christ alone. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except Christ. Christ alone. Then it demands a decision, though. Will you receive this salvation, this powerful salvation that Christ delivered on that Sunday morning when he rose from the grave? Jesus asked this question in our passage to this woman. Not to this woman. He asked this question here. He says, "Believest thou this?" He says, "Hey, I am the resurrection power. I can give you new life in Christ." He's talking to these two ladies. Then he asks an important question that I want to ask this morning. Believest thou this? Christ died, we know that. He paid the ultimate price for our sins. He was buried, he rose again, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin, and he offers us a full and free salvation. He offers us not an eternity with hell in hell that we deserve, but an eternity, a glorious eternity in heaven with him. But he asks us this question. You can know that up here. You can understand it. You can hear it. But if you ignore it, you'll die and go to hell. So he says, believest thou this? This is the question. Not do you go to church? Do you believe in God? The Bible says even the devil and his angels believe and tremble that there is a God. It's not, are you a good person? Are you a decent soul? He says, no. Have you believed in me for salvation? Believest thou this? Hey, friends, there's nothing that I can do to save your soul. There's nothing you can do to save your own soul. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior just as much as every single one of us in this room. It's up to you. Will you trust Christ to be your Savior? Will you receive this greatest gift in all of eternity that was delivered on Easter Sunday morning? Have you believed in a risen Christ? Romans chapter number 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I tell you, you missed the part in there where it says if you give all the money you ought to give in the offering plate, thou shalt be saved, because it's not there. You missed the part that says if you're baptized in a certain church, then you'll be saved. You know why? Because it's not there. You missed a part in there where it said, if you help all the old ladies cross the street, then you'll be saved because you're a good person. Why is it not there? Because he says, hey, I already did the work. I'm not asking you to follow a list of rules from some church. I'm asking you to believe in me. He died on the cross. He finished the work. He was buried and he rose again with resurrection power, power to save your souls. He's done the work. All we have to do is believe and receive him as our Savior. Realize our condition. Realize our need for a Savior. Realize the work he has accomplished and receive that today. Notice here, believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Resurrection is central because a dead Savior cannot save. But a living Savior, our living Savior, who still lives today, can and will save your soul if you call on his name. So bring it all together. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. If you want to argue that point, I think you'll find it's futile. We're all sinners. Most of us have probably all done wrong already today. Whether it was being caught up in anger because of people don't know how to drive in Pocatello or whatever it is. We probably all in the last 24 hours have been a sinner. But I tell you what, in our lives, we are all sinners. The other next truth is that sin brings death and hell. Sin comes with a penalty, a price, a debt that we cannot pay, which is an eternity of everlasting torment and death. Well, then we can see that Jesus died in our place, not because we deserve it, but because his love is so great, so marvelous, so awesome, that he loved us enough to die for us. And he shed his blood to wash away our sins, and he was buried, and that 3 days later, he rose again with the power to save our souls. And now salvation is offered to you freely, not by a Baptist church, not by a Baptist preacher, but by the God and the Savior of this Bible who rose again from a grave on a Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago. So friend, this isn't just another story. This isn't just another Sunday. Not just another church service to feel good about being in. It's not just another Easter tradition like eating ham and Easter dinner rolls. This is a divine moment of decision. Imagine if you're standing at the edge of eternity, realizing you heard the truth. Step off to the end of your life. You breathe your last breath. You step in eternity and you lift up your eyes, being in torment as that rich man did, being in hell. You realize, I showed up to church on Easter. I thought the preacher was going to preach a feel-good message that made me feel all fuzzy and warm inside. But he preached the truth. He told me that my sin would take me to hell. He told me that Jesus had died on the cross, and he rose up victoriously and powerful over the grave. And he told me from the Bible, not from his own opinions, that the truth is we must accept Christ as our Savior. I wonder if you'd imagine lifting up your eyes there in eternity in torment, saying, I heard that truth preached. Maybe it made me uncomfortable. Maybe I squirmed in my seat because I knew I ought to do this. But man, I didn't want to. What were people going to think? What were my family members going to think? Do I really? I felt conviction, but I walked away. Man, Christ died for you. He rose from the grave to save your soul. What a shame it would be for you to walk off into eternity and still suffer. I tell you, friend, it's pointless. The price has already been paid. It'd be similar to if someone was here and said, hey, I've got a terminal illness that I am definitely going to die and die a terrible and awful death. And someone finds a cure and pays for it and sets it in front of you and say, it's free. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is take it. And you realize your plight, you realize your situation, and you say, well, it just seems too easy. You walk away. You say, that wouldn't make sense. I know. But I tell you, the sad fact is that there have been millions who have heard this gospel, walked away, and now spend an eternity in hell. So that's not a feel-good Easter message. Tell you, if I could get through to you this morning that this power that we celebrate, this Savior that we celebrate, isn't just a good story, but this is the purpose, this is the whole story right here. If one soul would come to Christ, this message is worth it. For those of us that are saved here this morning, say, praise God, I changed a couple years ago. Praise God, Chase got saved. Praise God, a year ago, your mom got saved. Praise God, a decade plus ago, I got saved. Praise God, I received Christ as my Savior. Oh, we can celebrate and we shout about a risen Savior. And that someday, I will be with Him in heaven. Forever. Not because a preacher or a church said so, but because the Word of God says so. The stone's been rolled away. The grave is empty. Our Savior is alive. He's calling you. You don't need religion. Most religions out there are leading people astray. You don't need a reformed life. You don't need a self-help program. You need this resurrection power. You need salvation. I'd echo the words of our Savior. Believest thou this? Would you be saved today? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, all of this story that we celebrate over this last week and this morning, We are far from deserving. We thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. But God, thank you that you did not stay dead, that you rose up victorious from the grave. And I pray this morning Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would not delay, that they'd get saved today. Lord, I beg this of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.